Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Once this is the words of an old Mosey Lister song that says very simply that I'm feeling mighty fine.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. Well, I woke up with heaven on my mind. Well, I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew my Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light, 'cause I'd been on my knees in the night.
This morning, are you feeling mighty fine in Jesus? Let's get to the message. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Eric Stansberry. If you've got your Bible with you today, go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to be continuing talking about confidence, assurance, and hanging on to what God has given us. So if you have your Bible there with you, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading with verse 19. I'm going to go down to verse 22, and I'm going to make some comments. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the fresh and living way that he has inaugurated for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in the assurance that faith brings, because we have had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us come forward. Ends with verse 22. So Christ's finished work gives you and I the confidence to come before him, to come into his presence, knowing that he's able to do. Now, you need to understand that your main goal, our main thing in Christ, needs to be his presence. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 4. He says, I have asked the Lord for one thing. That is what I desire. He goes, I'm looking for one thing. Now, we get hung up on I want wealth, prosperity. We go through all the things. Notice what he says. I have asked the Lord for this one thing. This is what I desire. I want to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life so I can gaze at the splendor of the Lord and contemplate his temple. David says, look, I want to be forever in his presence. So when you and I are growing in the Christian faith, it should not be about stuff, but I want to be in his presence. John 10 and verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will come in and find pasture. John 14 and 6 again goes on, repeats the same thing. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No matter what the world throws out there, no matter what the world tells me and tells you that there's all these other ways to get to God, the Bible is very clear. The only way to be saved, the only way to get to God is to go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 2 says, "And through whom we have also obtained access into this grace by which we stand, in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory." Jesus' completed work at Calvary gives you and I access to the presence of Almighty God. You see, the problem in the church is we're hung up on our presence or what other people can give us. But what it should be, the only thing you and I should ever worry about is not what other people think, but is am I dwelling, am I living in the house, the presence of God? Not only is that part of faith, it's part of your walk. It's part of our requirement. When you humble yourself enough to know it's not about me, I can't do anything without Christ. I am nothing without Christ. But through Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ, I am an adopted son of God or daughter of God. But it comes to the point that you and I must, we have to be willing to listen and understand what God is calling us to do. You need to understand that despite what the world says, despite what some preachers may even preach, that there is still power in the blood. I love the song that we sing, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, oh evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. You see, we need to go back to that old-time preaching, that old-time understanding. We can't do it. We don't have the power to do it, but through his blood, we have access. Notice what happened in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now notice, he wasn't so much worried about who was in the house, but he said, when I see the blood, I'm passing over. Once you get under the blood, once your sins have been forgiven, once God has forgiven you and cleansed you, the enemy can say nothing to you ever again. It comes to the point that you and I must be washed in the blood. John 55 and verse 56, Jesus is talking. Now we know that the word, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy according to Revelation. We also know that sometimes Jesus would up the ante. So in John 6, he's already given a hard teaching, and people are starting to leave, but in verse 55, "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood resides in me and I in him." Now, they didn't know that he was foreshadowing there what we would now call the Last Supper or communion. But what he was trying to say, that unless we take part in those things, they're not requirements for salvation, but they're declarations of war. When we begin to, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this until I come." When we begin to take of his body and of his blood, we are now part of that covenant. We are now part of his family. And he requires of me and of you to do what he's called us to. Now, I mean, that's powerful. When you realize that under the blood of Jesus, Satan can't touch you unless you give him a door in to open. Satan can't come after you and your family if the blood has been applied. Romans 5 and verse 9, "Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous." You've been declared righteous. If your sins are under the blood, God declares you righteous. What that means for you, what that means for me, is that the enemy cannot show up at your house and my house and start pointing to our past. Because the moment he does, if you're seated in the right place, if you're seated at the in the right hand next to Jesus, then you can say, "Have you talked to my Father about this? Because I'm under the blood. You can't touch me." We will be saved from God's wrath. There are so many people today that are so focused on who the Antichrist is, and they're so focused on when Jesus is coming back. They're so focused on the ideas of when this has happened prophetically and this has happened prophetically. But we know that if we are in the blood of Jesus, that we're not going to be subject to the wrath of God. In other words, what that means for you and I, that if our sins are under the blood, when the rapture takes place, we're going out of here. Or when you die, you go to heaven. You understand that his life, that everlasting, eternal life, was not just in the sweet by and by. It was now. He's meant for you to have life and more abundantly, living as he is your sufficiency, because it's under the blood. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul writes, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross." Through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. When Jesus died for you and I, he made way, he made the official, efficient way for you and for I to be made whole. For you and I to be reconciled, not only down here to God, but knowing that we have a place in heaven that is ours forever and forever. The next thing that we see that we in this text here is that we've got to let Christ do the spring cleaning. You see, growing up in Cleveland, Tennessee, where I'm from, and heard the way sanctification was preached, it was more about the outward stuff. You didn't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, run with those that do. But as Jack Hayford points out in his book, The Charismatic Century, he talked about when the Pentecostal movement began to move outside the holiness movement, and suddenly maybe people who didn't meet the holiness idea of sanctification were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. What does that mean? That means that if we're allowing him on the inside to work on the outside, he'll take care of those things that we try to handle ourselves. Notice what he says, "Clean out the old yeast that you may be a new batch of dough. You are, in fact, without yeast, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Notice what he says. He goes, look, you're a new lump of dough. You're a new creature. You're something new. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. He is your sacrificial lamb. He is your Passover lamb. We're getting ready to go into the Passover season and go into resurrection. And all the churches are going to be talking about resurrection. But what I'm telling you today is you don't have to wait till heaven to experience resurrection power. You don't have to wait until you get there to understand and feel healing and feel power and feel anointing. What he says is, it's already been done. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. "Therefore, since we have these promises," what promises? in His Word. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that could defile the body and spirit, and thus accomplish holiness out of reverence for God. What is He saying there? He goes, look, there are things in your life that you know opens the door for Satan. It opens the door for him to come in. It opens the door for him to attack your family. What He's saying is, shut those doors. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me the things that I'm allowing into my life that is preventing the flow of the Holy Spirit. And if you are serious with the Holy Spirit, you're serious in His Word, He'll begin to show you the things that perhaps you need to stop doing. The music to stop listening to, the shows to stop watching, even maybe places you ought not to go. Why? Because He's making us into a people that uphold the standard of Jesus Christ. We are to become imitators. We must decrease our power to increase in His. We must decrease in our own eyes and realize, without Him I am nothing, but through Him I can do all things. That's what James would say in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. Now let's stop and look at the word double-minded. People that are double-minded might say, I am saved, but I still like to sin. I have been delivered from this sin, but I'm hanging on to that sin. I've been healed, but I've still got this. In other words, you say one thing, then you say another thing because your heart is divided. He's saying to draw nigh to God. Hold on to God. Look at the character of God and realize that God can do anything and everything if you and I are simply willing to hear what He has to say. I challenge you today. Get into God's Word. And we're going to talk about that too. But get into God's Word. Hold fast to that Word and allow that Word to begin to wash you, to sanctify you, to set you apart. He will let Him direct you what needs to be taken out of your life. And if you're letting Him do the directions, I promise you, He will do the cleaning. Look at now verse number 23. And let us hold unwaveringly to the hope that we confess, unwaveringly to the hope that we confess, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy. The Amplified will say, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess our acknowledgement of it. For He who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to His Word. The writer here is saying very simply, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go of what? Don't let go of your confession. Faith is hanging on to what you're confessing in God's Word about yourself. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, but examine all things and hold fast to what is good. As you go through the Bible and you see things that He's teaching you, confess that. Hang on to it. If He says that you're saved, you're saved. He says that you have been healed, past tense, you keep confessing healing until His will is done on earth as it's already been done in heaven. In other words, what He's telling you is, don't you give up before your faith, your miracle comes through. We are to hold fast, hold on to what we are confessing. The problem with many Christians today is they don't hang on to their profession, but they move around with every wind of strange doctrine. They're double-minded. They're, as James would say, they can't get anything from God because they're just tossed on the sea of unbelief. And it becomes harder and harder for you and I to receive from God when we don't hang on to what He's already told us. If He's made you a promise in this Word, He says that you hang on to that Word. You say, well, has He made me promises? He's made you the promises of being a divine partaker in Christ. He's promised if you will delight yourself in the Lord and let Him direct your paths, you'll have good success. If the word of this law does not depart out of my mouth, Do what the law says and you'll have success. He's made it very plain. When this word is planted in your life, and that is what you hang on to, what you will find invariably without any change, without any turning, is that His power will rest in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit until God, sets you free. What does that mean for me and you? Hang on to it. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going back a ways. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, his name being Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, what he's saying there, we've got to hang on to what we confess and know about Jesus Christ. What do we know about Jesus Christ? He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the provider. He is the soon coming King of Kings. He is the sanctifier. He's telling you and I that if we'll hang on to that and not let go of that confession, we're going to see the things he's promised. But the sad part is, unlike the lady with the unjust judge who kept knocking and asking and knocking and asking, we ask one time, if it doesn't happen, rather than sometimes if you quit your begging and say, Father God, I thank you for what you've already done. I thank you for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do. If I hand you my Bible, I gift you this Bible, and it's under your arm, and then you're coming to me saying, Eric, let me borrow a Bible. Let me have a Bible. Let me have a Bible. And yours is under your arm. I would have to point out to you that I've already given you what you need to do what you got to do. You see, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, Moses is asked by God, what have I put in your hand? What is in your hand? You see, we spend so much of our time begging, we don't know that it's already been done. He's waiting for you, he's waiting for me to stop asking for what's already there and start saying, Father God, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my deliverance. I thank you my family is saved. I thank you my children are saved. I thank you that I am walking in your light. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I thank you that I'm a new creature in Christ. And when you can get to that point, you know that you know you're holding on to your confession. The second thing he says is hold fast to the word. This word is seed. We are taught in the Bible that the sower went out and he spread seed, and it fell on, some fell on good ground and some fell on, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. But what I want to point out to you is that when you allow the seed to do what the seed is meant to do, it brings a harvest of 30, 60, and 100. You see, because God is a God of multiplication. He wants you to know that as the seed gets into your body, as the seed gets into your heart, and it begins to come out of your mouth like a sharp two-edged sword, that you'll begin to find the harvest that you're looking for. John 8, 31 and verse 32 says this, then Jesus said to those Judeans who had believed in him, if you continue to follow my teaching, you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth. You will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth, not religion, not your denomination, not your pastor, not the praise and worship leader, but the truth will set you free. Some of you are living in self-imposed bondage. One of my dad's favorite movies that he used to make me watch with James Gardner was called Support Your Local Sheriff. Now the jail had not been completed. So he takes some red paint and he throws it on the floor. And he puts a prisoner in there. There's no doors on the jail. They're still waiting to come from the capital city. And the man says, well, what's to stop me from walking out of there? And he just moves his hand. And the man looks and sees the red paint. He goes, what's that? He goes, the last feller that tried to escape. So he sat down. You see, the devil comes to you and I, and he tells us he's big, he's bad, he's this, he's that. What God is trying to tell you, listen, you're free. Walk out of that prison. Walk out of that bondage. Walk out of that addiction. Because you can if you will take the truth of God's word and let it get down into you. Lord, time is getting away today. Verse 24. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our own meetings, or as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. And even more so because you see the day drawing nigh. Learning, we talk about humility, and we always say, well, I put myself down. That's not what humility is all about. That's a whole nother teaching. But I want to bring you to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, here it is, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. In other words, when we're in church together, when we're in the mall, it's not about you, it's about other people. We live in a completely narcissistic society. Everybody is turned on to me. We do our fish lips and our hands, and we make all of our own social media. I've got kids on TikTok, you twit face. And yet that's what we all are focused on. When he's saying true humility of helping to build the church is you think about other people. If you see your brother who has a need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, John would say, how dwell the love of God in you? In other words, we are to be thinking about those who cannot do for themselves. Widows, orphans, the disabled, veterans. We should be putting other people above ourselves. Because the early church cared more about others than self. And when you get to the point that self is last on the list, you find that then you start living. Because you're not worried about, I've got to get mine. I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going to get what's mine, what's mine, what's mine. And we get away from it. Second thing that he says in this last part, stop avoiding each other. Quit not going to church. Brother Eric, Dr. Eric, I've been hurt so bad in the church, you don't know. We've all been hurt. Well, Brother Eric, you just don't know what I've been through. Yeah, you don't. But as the world goes darker, he says, we need to support each other more and more and more. That we need to be there for each other more and more and more. We need to pray for the sick. We should have signs following us. The sick should be healed, delivered, set free. We are to be the light and salt as we grow in his faith. That's what James says in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you who the family of faith suffering, he should pray. Is anyone in good spirits, he should sing praises. Is anyone among you ill, now follow this, he should summon the elders of the church and they should pray for him and anoint him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. Notice what he's saying. In the two or three getting together, the congregation coming together to support one another, to lift one another up, to bless the Lord, to worship the Lord, to hear the word of God in truth. The church is not about how many our lights show and how many things. It's still about we worship God and we come to the place that we hear his word, we do his word, and we help one another. If someone is sick, you lay hands on them as a congregation and pray for them. If they need a song, help them to sing. God expects us to be in 24 communication with him. What that means, if you're suffering, you're praying. If you're having a great day, you're singing praises. But when you get to the point that you're sick, that you're ill, and perhaps your faith can't get you where you need to be, he says, call for the elders of the church. Call for somebody to pray for you. Let me ask you, my friend, today. Have you perhaps gotten slack in your faith? Have you perhaps focused on everything else but what God has called you to do and to be? I challenge you today to hold on to your faith, to your confession of faith. And I believe that God has something for you. We'll be right back in just a moment. I want to pray for you. And help and just talk to you for just a minute. We'll see you in a minute. Hey, thank you for joining us on Restoration today. This is Dr. Eric Stansbury. I want to pray for you right now. If you have a need, let us know at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. If you have any kind of need, subscribe. Let us know. Also, be praying how you can help this ministry. We're in need of a few things. We're slowly but surely upgrading everything to be more effective for you. We're also looking for places to be speaking over the summer break. Hopefully, it brings revival to your town. So what I would ask you to do, reach out to me at pastorstansbury@gmail.com if you wish to give, I will tell you exactly what we need. We need a new keyboard that has that more a little bit updated software. I need a new laptop to help me with the different ways that we're doing the video editing. But I just know that there are some of you out there that are watching this podcast that the Lord's going to speak to you on how you can help this ministry begin to grow in faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if you're here today, and you need special prayer, whatever your need is, if it concerns you as a child of God, it concerns Him. I want you to pray. Pray with me, please. Father God, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, and Your glory. And Father God, I pray today that if there's anyone sick, that right now their faith will reach up and grab hold of the hem of Your garment, and they'll be healed. If they need a financial miracle, that right now You'll open the windows and the doors of heaven for them. And Father God, I pray that You'll reach out and strengthen every member of this listening audience. And Father, we give You praise and we give You glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So glad that you were able to join us today. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this YouTube channel. Also, we're available on all of your favorite podcasting setups. That is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. You can Google Eric Stansbury or Walking in the Word. You can find us there. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury saying grace and peace be multiplied to you as God has your restoration. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.